I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, how do you listen? How do you listen? You say, what in the world are you talking about? Exactly what I'm talking about. How do you listen? I remember when I was in school, the teacher would often come in and she said, okay, sit up. Put your back against the back of your seat. Put your heads looking at me. Don't be bending over. Don't be closing your eyes. And what they was trying to do was to get me to listen. They needed to back in those days. I was probably not a good listener. But today I want to speak to you on this subject, how do you listen? So if you have your Bibles, Luke chapter number 8. Now, we'll begin reading verse 16, and I'll reference the prior scripture to that in the chapter, but for sake of time, we'll not read it all. But the Bible said in verse 16, it said, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under his bed. But he setteth it on the candlestick, that they might enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Here's the passage that I'm taking the text from. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. So obviously there is different ways to hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, for him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. I want you to look at verse 18 again, just the first phrase. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. Father, we thank you today for the opportunity and the privilege you have to be here today. And I do pray now that you would bless, pray that you'd give us the strength and the wisdom, the help that we need today to minister the Word of God. Lord, I'm afraid so many times folks go to church and they hear, but really they don't hear. They do not hear enough that it produces any kind of change in their life or any kind of action that would help them to be the kind of Christian they need to be. And Lord, truly, there's enough said in the Word of God today to know that you want us to listen in a way that would be pleasing to you and beneficial to us, that we might be, Lord, the servant that you've called us to be in being faithful to you. Father, we ask now that you would bless our time together. Bless your Word, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. President Calvin Coolidge said, it takes a great man to be a good listener. Now, I know that everybody in this building at some time or the other has experienced that you could be talking to somebody and you could really be right in the middle of a very important conversation. At least to you, it's important. And all of a sudden, the person beside you will just go to talking. And they'll go, they may be talking to you, they may be talking to somebody else, but the best thing you do is just hush up because nobody's listening to you because they've started doing it. Now, what causes that? What causes that is they're not listening. Now, I won't admit that I'm not going to tell you that I have not been guilty of that myself. Sometimes you get sidetracked, your mind's running in several different directions, and it's easy in order to do that. However, the ultimate consequences of that sort of a ordeal or scenario is you don't know what was said. And oftentimes when you get down to it, it's been taken over and taken away. Likewise, the same way when we come to the things of God. I believe listening is an important skill. I believe it's often neglected. Somebody said good listeners make good friends and good company. Good listeners are great teachers and counselors. I remember my pastor years ago when I was having some problems in my teen life and was not doing what I ought to do. I went and talked to him, and I noticed sometimes I was wondering if he was listening to me. I mean, he wasn't saying anything, but he wasn't responding. And I'd get to a point feeling like he ought to respond, and he didn't respond. But I found out that he was just listening. You can learn so much from just listening if you listen and apply it the way it needs to be done. Now, Solomon described some poor listeners in Proverbs 18:13. The Bible said, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is a folly and a shame unto him. Have we not all been guilty of somebody starting to tell us something and we answer the question before they ever get through? And to be honest with you, at the end of the conversation, you didn't get it right. There was something else to the question. You just didn't wait to find out what it was. Bad listeners cheat themselves on bad relationships with people because it hurts people's feelings and feel that they're insignificant. Listening to people can give us, a great temporal value. I think listening to people with wisdom is of great importance. I thank the Lord from the wisdom of my father. And even though as a teenager I did not listen to him as I should, later in life I had wished I had listened to him more. But when you listen to God, It's not only temporal significance, but when you listen to God, it's eternal significance. If you listen when you come to the house of God, friend, if we listen to the Word of God every time it's preached, if we apply it in our life every time we hear it, I'm telling you, I do not believe that this church could hold the number of people that we would be bringing in to tell them about what Christ has done for us, understanding that God's called us to be servants. Now, down in verse 18 again, notice the word where he said, take heed. In other words, give me your attention. Sit up. Put your back to the seat. Hold your head up. Look at me. Listen. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. And this is carried on all throughout the Scripture. It's a constant thing that is reminding us. The command, hear the word of the Lord, appears about 30 times in the Old Testament. I have the Scripture here, but for the sake of time, I'll not give them to you. I'll be glad to later if you want them. But some 30 times in the Old Testament, time and time again, God reminds us to hear the word of the Lord. I think of the verse, and I may use it later, but faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How do we get faith? By hearing. By hearing what? By hearing what we know Christ wants us to hear. In Psalm 81, verse 11 through 13, God lamented. He said, but my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up to their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Why? Because they wouldn't listen. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. Friend, there's going to be a day we're going to wish, if we haven't listened, that we would have walked in the ways of God. In Isaiah 30, verse number 9, he described the children of Israel like this. A rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of God. I'm afraid today we've raised a generation. Thank the Lord for the young people that are here and the opportunity we have to work with the young people. And we've got some great young people, and I'm grateful for it. But I'd say by a vast majority today, young people, they fall by the wayside if they're not encouraged to listen. We don't come to church to talk and play and cut up and write notes and see what somebody else is doing. We come to the house of God to hear. And we come, it's not for long, it's just for a few minutes. But could you not give God just a few minutes to hear what the man of God is saying from the Word of God? In Jeremiah 13, verse 10, he called them an evil people, which refuse to hear my words. In Jeremiah 22, 21, this hath been thy manner from thy youth, that thou obeyest not my voice. In other words, if you haven't figured it out by now, we've got a hearing problem. I went somewhere last night, was in a restaurant, and I was talking to a guy. He was from Cairo, and I was just reminding him about the ball game Friday night, and we was talking a little bit, and I talked to him for a long time. And finally, he turned over there to me, and he said, I thought he was kidding because of what we've been talking about, but he said, I hadn't heard a word you said. I said, what? He said, I can't hear. I said, I guess he heard enough that I was saying something, but I said, I wish I'd have known it. I'd have got it and went over there because I wanted him to hear what I had to say. But not only is Israel guilty of rebelling against God by not hearing, those who reject the truth are guilty of failing to listen to the Word of God. You know, we got so much to give account for when we get to heaven. But when we stand before God, God's got a lot of things that He's going to do. Quickly, I've got a lot to say, so I've got to move on. If you go back with me to verse 10, I'm not going to read them, or actually verses 12 through 15. We find the parable of the soils. You know about the word of God is the seed, and the seed is sown, and some fell on hard ground, and you know the story, and I'll not take time to read that. And so we've just got through with this, and then he gives the illustration of what takes place in people's lives often. The way you listen reveals your spiritual condition. Did you know that? The way you listen reveals your spiritual condition. I hear oftentimes people, a lot of people say to me, they say, preacher, I like to sit on the front because I don't like all the distractions that are going on in front of me. Now, I don't say that I notice a lot of distractions, but friend, now, you know, there may be emergencies, but listen, we ought to be listening. You know, I remember one time somebody was watching on the internet, and they said, we was watching, and you was praying, and the choir was up there, and somebody was talking. Well, that's not a good thing, is it? They need to be listening, didn't they? And so we have to be careful as how we project ourselves to understand that we ought to be listening. Many people make a superficial response to the Lord Jesus Christ, but one day, if you're not careful, he'll say, "Depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity." Those that hear the Lord's words but fail to act on them will be swept away by the floods of judgment. Hear the word of God and act upon them. The Bible said, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." On the other hand, those that hear Christ's words and obey them, he said in verse 24, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which had built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, because it was founded upon the rock." Jesus mentioned several ways, and I want to give them to you quickly this morning. I've already taken a long time in my introduction, but I think it's of great importance that we understand. But first of all, I want you to see that we ought to listen with a desire to share. Friend, I tell you something, I got some good news for you. I have before me today the Word of God, and it will save you from eternal fire. It will take you to an eternal place called heaven, where you'll abide with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. And friend, tonight we need to share that. I think about all the people that are dying in our day, and we hear of somebody almost every day that is sick and dying. Friend, today, the greatest thing we could do, somebody said, "Boy, we're living in a bad day." It might be a good day. It might be a good day for people to listen. "Be still and know that I am God," he said, and just listen to what he thinks. Now, what he tells us in the verse 16, he said, "No man, when he lighteth a candle, covereth it with a vessel." Now, it would be kind of dumb to light a light, to get light, and then cover it. If you cover it with a vessel, it would extinguish the flame. If you hide it under the bed, it'll not give light. In fact, sometimes at our house, when the electricity goes out, my wife's got candles everywhere, and she lights the candles, and we place them in strategic places. We place it so we can see to get from one room to the other, and it is of great help. How foolish it would be for me to take the candle and put it under my bed. Bed probably catch on fire if I did that, but anyway, if we put the candle under the bed, what good is it? It will not project light. What do we do? With the light, when we light it, we put it as high up as we possibly can, because it will give more light over the whole room better when it's elevated in a position to where it can give more light. Now, who would do that? Lamp has to be placed on a stand or the wall. The image Jesus wants to communicate to us here is genuine disciples, true disciples, hearers of the Word of God, don't hide the gospel. Friend, if we're the light of the, if Jesus is the light of the world, and we've been saved by the grace of God, why are we hiding the gospel under the bed or under the vessel when the whole world needs to know that Jesus saves? Peter described Christians in 1 Peter 2:9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into marvelous light," that we should show forth his praises. Man, it ought to be our desire to share the Word of God. We ought to be excited about the fact that we're going to heaven. I'm grateful today, and it's sad to know that there's people, and as I get older, I realize the time is coming, if the Lord doesn't come back, that all of us one day will die. It's appointed unto man once to die. But I tell you what, I'm grateful for the time I have with my family and my friends. But I tell you, when I leave here, I'm going to a better place, and I'm going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. In his defense before Herod Agrippa, Paul said, "Jesus has sent me both to the Jews and to the Gentiles." So here's what he said. Why? "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Paul said, God didn't save me to go sit in a corner and hide what I had. God sent me to help open the eyes and turn people from darkness to light. And friend, whether you know it or not, that's what God has called every child of God to do in the life that we live, is to share the light of the Word of God. Paul commanded the Thessalonians, he said in 1 Thessalonians 1:8, "For from you," I like this, "for from you, you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to God were to spread abroad, so that we need not speak a thing." Man, when Paul got to Thessalonica, he said, "Man, I want you to know, y'all have sounded out the word of the Lord in Macedonia and Achaia, and every place your faith is Godward and is spread forward." And he said, I don't even need to be here. I can't add nothing to what you've done. You've already covered everybody. Wouldn't it be nice to go out knocking on doors and everybody knocking on the door said, well, they'd either say, well, I'm saved, or they say, some guy come by here and try to tell me that. Friend, you ought not be offended if somebody asks you if you're saved or not. You ought to be thankful if somebody cares enough about your soul to ask you if you've accepted Christ or not. Jesus compared true hearers to a brilliantly lit city with its light that's set on a hill, a light that cannot be hidden. Friend, when we hear the Word of God, we ought to have a desire to share it. Friend, I tell you, I hear people a lot of times, they say, well, I won the lottery, and I'm going to share it with my kids, and I'm going to share it with my church, and I'm going to share it with this one and that one. Friend, what happened with just sharing the most precious thing that we ever had, the Word of God? But we got to listen so that we'll have that desire, because we know what God would have us to do. True conversion, I believe, always results in the desire of the believer to share the truth, the gospel story that's been trapped in darkness. Genuine disciples respond to the truth evangelistically. They don't just literally take it in, they give it out. Jesus may have another issue in mind with this analogy in verse 8:10. He said, "Unto you it is given." Look at verse 10. He said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in the parable, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they might not understand." In other words, when we hear and accept Christ, He gives us an insight. He helps us to understand the act of judgment on Jesus' part. Those who rejected the truth would have hidden it from them. The disciples may have thought they were to render the same judgment, to decide for themselves who to present the truth to. But Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Jesus wants them and us to know the believer's place is not who we witness to, but it's to witness to everyone we come in contact with that they might know about God. I remember we used to go to Daytona. I mentioned that with Jason a while ago, but we go to Daytona, and I remember Ron Riley said, "Now, when you go out witnessing," he said, "don't call people out. Don't say, I think I want to go talk to them. I think I want to go talk to them, but I don't want to go over there." He said, "Don't do it." He said, "Talk to everybody you come in contact with, because you never know who you might see come to Christ." Christians are responsible for the Great Commission, and it's great. He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." When they were ready, Jesus would send the 12 out to preach the gospel to all they encountered. In Luke 9, verses 1 through 6, he tells us that. But in Matthew 10, 27, "What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops." Friend, when we come to the house of God and we preach about sharing the gospel, if we're listening, if we're truly a disciple of God, there ought to be a desire to share it with those around about. I've often come to the graveside, and I've heard people say, I sure hope they were saved. Friend, I tell you today, we can't make anybody get saved, and there's no way we can be sure anybody's saved apart from their own testimony. But we sure can tell them before it's too late to tell them that Jesus loved them and died for them and gave himself for it. You know, a pond takes in water and it receives it. But a river takes in water and it shares it everywhere it flows. We listen not only to learn, but so that we can share with others. That's why Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Mark 16:15. Quickly, listen with a desire to show. Look at verse 17. "For nothing is secret that shall be made manifest, Neither anything hid that should not be known and come abroad. There's many different interpretations of this statement, but to me, it's the sense to understand it is the authenticity that refers to the person on the inside. Whatever is hidden within us will become evident. Out of the issues of life, or out of the heart, is the issues of life, I believe how it said. What's in our heart is going to reveal who we really are. The true condition of the heart will be revealed. And by the way, that's a tough battle, because the Bible said, in Jeremiah, said the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The principle is repeated throughout Scripture. Jesus gave it in Matthew 10:26. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be made known. In the Old Testament, David wrote, the righteous God trieth the hearts and the reins, in Psalm 7:9. Moses said to God in Psalm 90:8, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. Solomon closed the book of Ecclesiastes with this sobering warning. He said, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Paul spoke of a day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to the gospel. Isn't that interesting? Paul also wrote, therefore, judge nothing before time until the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and manifest the counsels of the heart. Jesus was warning here about hypocrisy. A lot of times people say, don't go to church because of hypocrites. Well, I'm glad the hypocrites come, because that's the only place they're going to get any help. But we don't need to continue to be hypocrites. We need to listen. And if we listen, we'll change. He said in Luke 12:1-2, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that should not be revealed, neither hid that should not be known. In verse 1, Jesus said, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Jesus cautioned his disciples about imitating the Pharisees. Now listen, listen to what I'm fixing to say. You know what the Pharisees said? The Bible said they would say and do not. In other words, they may have heard, but they wasn't responding to what they heard because they say and do not. Jesus said to the Pharisees, even so ye also outwardly appear to be righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. I'm sorry, and I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm telling you, we've got churches full of people today that live a very hypocritical life. They can put on a good show. They can appear to be something that they're really not, and it's not our place to judge, and I'm not saying we should. But you know what he did? He said, don't imitate them. Listen and show forth Christ in your life. He challenged the people not to be like the false disciples. You know what? When it came time, he said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? I tell you, I wonder how many millions of messages, thousands of messages are preached today in churches all over just America. But I wonder what the content would be as far, or the statistics would be as far as those who responded to the words they hear. It's easy. You can go home, forget it. And if you're thinking about something else right now, you're not getting it anyway. But you know, we ought to have a desire so that we can here to show forth Christ and what he's done in our life by the good things and people to know that we've been with Jesus. And then thirdly and quickly, we go to verse 18, listen with a desire to shine. You know, I think of the song, it's my desire to be like Jesus. Friend, I tell you what, today it ought to be our desire to be like Jesus more than anything in all the world. But he said, take heed therefore how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. The challenge is to give careful thought to how you listen. Listen to the theme. Listen to the entire section. I'm all about reading the Bible. I encourage you to read your Bible. But don't skim it. Don't scan it. Read it to hear and to listen to what God is saying to you. I hear people say, and again, I'm not being critical at all, because I don't know how people are reading it, but I hear people say, well, I've read through the Bible 100 times or 50 times or whatever. That's wonderful. But be sure you're reading it. You know, even me, sometimes I read a verse and I scratch my head. Yeah, I know, I'm preaching. I'm a preacher and I shouldn't be like that. But I say, whew, I don't believe I ever saw that before. How did I miss it? In all these years, how did I miss it? Well, maybe sometimes the Holy Spirit may save it for certain times in times of need. But Jesus told the disciples in the upper room, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples." The promise of blessings for true disciples is balanced by the warning to false disciples. Jesus said to those that do not have even that which he thinks or what appears to him, it's going to be taken away. In the end, the false disciples lose everything. But I tell you, we have everything to gain as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we show forth the praises of God in what he's doing and we have the desire that we need to have in serving him. And then the thought may have never entered your mind, but how well you listen to what the Lord has to say will determine where you spend eternity. Do you know what? There's people that sit in churches for years. They've heard me and they've heard other people present the plan of salvation over and over and over again. But some of them die and go to hell because they've never truly been born again. You know why? Because they didn't listen carefully enough. They did not understand something. Something has triggered them to, you know, we think just going to church and being good, that's going to get us there. And we think, surely if anybody, I heard somebody say, well, if anybody's saved, I know I am. Or one lady said one time, she said, I tell you, there ain't a better Christian in the world than my mother. And of course, she was kind of arguing with me because her mother didn't go to church. And as far as I know, she didn't profess to be saved. She said, well, I know she's going because she's good. You better pay attention how you listen, because it'll determine where you spend eternity. The Bible says, so then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Listen to share, listen to show, listen to shine. And then lastly, listen with a desire to serve. You know, the Bible makes it plain. You know, both in Matthew and in Mark, they place this event about the word on the soil earlier, before it, they present this passage before it relates to the parables of the soil. But in Luke, he puts it here because it kind of fits in with this section of the gospel, the importance of properly hearing the word of God. In Mark 3, verse 31, if you remember, when Jesus was being taken in his teaching, Mary and his brothers were unable to get to him because of the crowd. The Bible said in Mark 3, verse 31, they sent unto him, calling him. They requested to speak to him. We're talking about the brothers of Jesus when they were about to take him to be crucified. In Matthew 12, 46, they passed through the crowd, Matthew 12, 47, until the message finally reached the ears of Jesus because they were trying to get to him. It said, behold, thy mother and thy brothers stand without, desiring to speak with thee. Mark 3, 20 and 21 said, and the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. Here's Jesus, mother, disciples. We know Mary knew what was going on. We know that Mary knew that he was going to be the Son of God. He was going to pay the price for sins. But some of his brothers, we find, the Lord's brothers did not even believe in him until after the resurrection. But Jesus understood Jesus. She knew what he was going. The Bible said that the Holy Spirit told her that Matthew 1:21, that he would save his people from their sins. And Mary, in Luke 1, verse 47, she acknowledged her own need for a Savior. She loved her son. She come to try to help him. His brothers was coming to help him. And they thought he was in trouble. They thought he was in over his head. They didn't understand that he had all power and he could do whatever he desired to do. And I'm talking about the brothers here. But Jesus was not indifferent toward his family. As he was dying, he took the time to provide the needs for his family. You remember he said, mother, behold thy son. And of course requested that John take care of his mother. But after his death and resurrection, Jesus was more than willing to save any of his brothers that would come to him by faith. The Lord's reply was, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. Do you see where I'm going with this morning? Hearing, the right kind of hearing, is what we need in our churches. Those who have a relationship with Jesus Christ, they hear and they do. I think all of us would have to admit that we're guilty of hearing but not doing as we need to. Seeking to honor Mary, they said a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, "Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked." Again, Jesus makes it clear that human relationships are not the issue. He said in Luke 11:28, "Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word and keep it." Blessed means happy, but peaceful. But how many times do we hear him talking about hearing and keeping and doing and obeying? Jesus described the kind of people who prove that they are children of God. The Bible said in James 1:22, a real disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is one that is a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving their own selves. There are those who hear the words and act on them. Matthew 7:24, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon the rock." There's those that continue the word. He said, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." In other words, we're not to judge. But he said, you can tell who a true disciple is if they continue in the word. There's those who demonstrate their love for Jesus by obeying him. In John 14:21, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them." That's doing what we hear. "And he that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." What is your response to the word of God today in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Everybody in this building has a relationship with the word of God today. It may be one of indifference, but it's a relationship. It's not a proper relationship. It's a wrong relationship. But there's some that have a walk with God, and their life has been changed, and they have a desire to share, and they have a desire to show, and they have a desire that Christ may be seen in their life. But what Jesus is looking for is a relationship of obedience to the Word of God. If your relationship to the Word of God is built upon obedience, you will hear the Word of God, you'll receive it with joy, and you'll do it. You will do what God commands you to do. I'm just simply saying today, pay attention to how you listen. Pay attention to how you hear and how you respond to the Word of God. And it will determine how you live in the world and will determine where you'll spend eternity. I'm grateful that when I'm preaching, there should be no talking, and I haven't seen any. And most of the time I don't, because I try to get into my message more than letting things distract me. But I'm glad that nobody has a chance to speak when we preach, because this is so important that we hear and do what Christ would have us to do. So to the lost sinner today who hears the Lord call for salvation, I tell you, today is the day of salvation. Hear and do. If you're not born again, do it today. Tomorrow may be too late. Let the child of God who hears the word of God bow in humble submission to the Lord's will. Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Let each of us examine ourselves and pay attention to how we listen. Verse 18, take heed, therefore, how you hear.